Well, let's pray this morning.
Father, I thank you so much for the Word of God. I thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for all that you're doing through each and every one of us as we serve the kingdom of God. Father, I thank you how wherever we find the place that you would have us go, that when we act upon your word and do what you ask us to do, Father, we know that your kingdom backs us. And Father, we know that you working through us can get much accomplished. And I thank you for that. So this morning, as I preach your word and deliver it to your wonderful people, Father, may they act on it, understand it, and act on it and be doers of it, not hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We brought out the last time I spoke that everyone has a belief in their heart. Every one of us do. But is that belief founded on the Word of God? See, many of us don't really realize how important it is that what we believe is founded by the Word of God. The Word of God has something to say about what we believe. Because you know something? I'm not going to be up here and pastor you in such a way that I will not declare the full counsel of God. I'm not responsible for what you do with the kingdom of God. That's your business between you and God. But it is my business to see to it that I give you the things that are necessary for you to walk through this life and have a means of protection. You know, the old psalm that they always use, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. They use that at funerals. But really, that is not a good psalm to be quoting at funerals. It's talking about, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, this life, in this realm, this fallen realm, the Lord is my shepherd. I need to take the attitude that I do not want. He is my provider. You know. And so, I don't understand when a mind begins to speak like that, that he would prefer a number of people over transforming faith in people's lives. And it bothers me, you know, I was just in one meeting, and it bothers me how even word people will begin to consider spirituality as being one thing and practicality as another. And what I mean by some people get this attitude, well, he's real spiritual, you know, you got to understand, he's spiritual, but he doesn't understand the practical things of life. People, I'm going to tell you something. Spirituality has more to do with practicality than spirituality. Spirituality does something with the practicalities of life. It doesn't exempt it. If that was the case, then our faith would be the type of faith that is not transforming faith, but it's a faith that is expressed towards what we call triumphant faith. And although we commend people for the triumphant faith that they have, that is where we win victories for the attacks that come in our life, but that is not all that our faith is centered around. It's just a triumphant faith. Our faith, most of all, should the preeminence of our faith should be centered around transforming faith. And that's where practicalities come in. When a person grows spiritually, he develops in such a way that he controls the practicalities of life. He doesn't just travel through life with a triumphant faith, and yet his own personal life is not changing. Because then he has a triumphant type of faith that will win victories for other people, but yet his own life could be in shambles. Are you following me? And then he would bring a reproach to the triumphant faith, you know, in that sense, because his life does not match up with what the power of God is flowing through him. See, and I've seen it over the years, many times. Pastor John probably has seen it many times, where you see a man move in the triumphant faith. I have CDs and I have studied these men's lives, and now I can see it so clear that they had a triumphant faith, but they didn't know how to deal with the practicalities of life. And it cost them their life in the long run. The very thing that they express is eventually what took them out. And God wants us well-balanced in all areas. He wants us well-balanced with triumphant faith and transcending faith. Transcending faith is a faith that will carry on regardless of what happens to people. You've got to have all three of these in our life. Then, of course, we have that supernatural gift that falls on us to accomplish something in the miraculous, the realm of the miraculous. But listen, I'm going to tell you something, people. If you study your Bible just a little bit, I mean, even go to 1 Timothy and read there what he has to say about the practicalities of things. And he says if a man can't even provide for his own home, then he has denied the faith. That word for denied is a very interesting Greek word. That's a word you find in 1 John. I've had people all the time tell me the book was written for the Gnostics of their day. That book was not written just for the Gnostics of its day, meaning people that didn't believe that God existed in Christ. That book was written because the spirit of Antichrist began to get in amongst believers, and even believers did not really comprehend the fullness of the presence of the testimony of God through Jesus Christ. It's talking about our fellowship with each other. Those are practical things that are very important to the kingdom of God. You know, I witness these miracles on these discs, and I see these guys, but I've noticed something about them. They've turned in their testimony of such triumphant faith and then cursed the church for not being what they are. And that's wrong with that people, because God said He came to build the church. He didn't say He came to build certain men up to convince the church how they ought to be. The church is the economy, the kingdom of God. It is the house of the body of Christ. It is the Lord Jesus Christ is why we're formed today as a church. We're not to take second seat to people who have found the truth and believe God and manifested in power and then turn around and curse the church for it. It's craziness. Hey, just as much as I am upset about denominational things, I thank God that John Cook has done his job. If you wasn't here the first Sunday night when he taught on denominationalism, I'll tell you, when I had to go to that meeting at Raymond, I love Raymond, don't get me wrong. It's a part of my ministry, it's a part of my life. But I felt a loss in me that I couldn't hear his message Sunday night continuing on in denominationalism. Because I want to know something about why we've gotten to where we're at today. And the first time, I don't know whether you guys enjoyed it or not, first time, he just read through his notes. I was blessed by it because I'm understanding how the church has gotten in the mess that it's gotten in today. And I told him to give me the CD, and he's going to give it to me right. And I'm going to go and study that CD before tonight again because I want to keep in step with what he has taken time to pray out and search God for, so I have a greater understanding as a pastor of the kingdom of God and what to look for, what not to look for, and what is necessary and important and vital for our church. So when we talk about faith, we're not talking about just a triumphant faith or only. We're talking about the three realms that are so vitally important and necessary for our life. And I found that if you don't have transcending faith, and all you got is a triumphant faith, then you're not going to do the body of Christ much good. You're going to do yourself a whole lot of good. You're going to be exalted in glory by people that follow the glory of ministers. And God doesn't want you to do that because you have an inheritance from God, and He wants you to have the fullness of that inheritance. And some of these men that have come into our life, I commend them greatly, but that's not where God is now. God has moved on. God wants the church to begin to grow up and act in the type of faith they're supposed to act in. I commend transforming faith, because transforming faith fosters, it holds a transcending faith. When a person is good in his stewardship through this life, then he is the one that will last, outlast anyone. He's the one you'll see finish his ministry in completeness. Because he does what he's called to do. Now, he might not even express triumphant faith, but it doesn't mean he can't express triumphant faith. But he sure does hold to what I call transcending faith. He'll continue on till he's with the Lord. I have been told that some people believe Billy Graham is not really saved. You know what? A mind like that, there's something wrong with its thinking. If you don't think Billy Graham's saved, then you don't know what salvation is. Now, Billy Graham has not come from the triumphant faith aspect as much as other ministers have. But how many of you know that the reason Billy Graham will grow old and complete his ministry is because he not only has transforming faith, he has transcending faith. Are you following me? And he has expressed the greatest faith of all. He's brought people to salvation, which the Lord Jesus Christ, in his entire ministry, didn't see one person saved under his ministry until after his resurrection. And all that believed him in him was born again. He said, that is the greater work that you will do. It's because of me placing salvation for the whole world, and you're going to go out and reap that harvest. Glory to God. So I'd say Billy Graham had an important ministry. Don't you think so? Have you guys ever watched his programs and seen people line up to get into his meetings and get saved? I'll never forget one testimony about a biker whose drugs and just threw his whole life away. He came to some tragic ends in his life. And he'd heard about Billy Graham. But Billy Graham was never in his town. And so one day, after a tragic things in his life, he decided to do society the right thing, and he climbed into a garbage can. And he put the lid over it. And he says, I'm just going to go ahead and die. That's all my life means to me. I put it in the trash. So I might just sit here till I die. That's what he'd purpose. He was skin and bones. And so he went to get into the garbage can. And somebody told him Billy Graham was in town. And in his thinking, all he could do was think about getting to that meeting and hearing Billy Graham. And he went to that meeting and got saved. Turned his whole life around. Hallelujah. That to me was not an ungodly man that was delivering that kind of message. It was a godly man. And yes, I understand denominations, and I understand many denominations, and I understand there are many churches out there. But people, just because there are many denominations and many churches out there, they're still a part of the body of Christ. Are you following me? And just because they belong to a denomination does not mean that their faith is in vain. The denomination might have to be held accountable for what they preach. But just because a person is a part of a denomination does not mean that they own those people. Those people belong to the living God, our Heavenly Father. And I'm not going to take the light that God gives me and start judging all these other ministries and judging all these other people. God didn't call me to judge people. He called me to produce light for people so people can follow the light. And so the first thing I want to boldly declare today, that spirituality has much to do with practicality, just as much as the supernatural. In Ephesians chapter 1, talking about when the church was established, the body of Christ in the earth, the first thing he said in verse 10, he said that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, that is the dispensation you and I are living in, the fullness of time. And the word for dispensation here is the word the translators put stewardship or dispensation. But really, when you look at the Greek word, it's the Greek word economy. The church is literally the economy, the structure of how God functions in transforming faith. Matter of fact, God puts His church, the house of the Lord Jesus Christ, above your own personal life, your own personal family. Why? Because if He puts it first, then your personal family will be taken care of. If you want to hate your family, if you want to hate your family, love and serve them before you will the house of God, and you'll destroy your family. Because the house of God has a higher priority. It has a way of transcending into your thinking and reshape and remold your whole life so that you are a responsible, practical, successful person. The only person that can stop you is you from being successful. It's all what you determine in your heart to do. And, you know, many times I wish that I could have spoken into people's lives and tell them not to do some of the things that they're going to start to do, to save them a tragedy. And you knew they were going to dive right into the tragedy. But I purposed in my heart, I'm not going to abandon them even in the tragedy that they behave themselves into. I'll be there for them for prayer and believe. And believe they're going to come out of it. You don't give up on anybody. You pray and you have faith for everybody. Amen. You do. You have to believe for everybody. I know that it's hard. You know what? Sayings mean nothing to me for believing. But to me, I don't have a problem believing for things. I mean, if things don't come to me supernaturally, I somehow go to them. I find a way to get to them. But people, it's different. Because they have a will. And so your faith is more challenged with people than it is things. I know many times when I've stepped the pulpit and pastored the Word of God to many of you, in hopes that many of you would grab a hold of some of it. But if I said a certain message, I know I could con you out of something, you'd come up and give it to me. Because it's things. But boy, my heart really is expressed in that transcending faith with people's lives because people have a will. They don't always do what you expect them to do. And so somebody has to stand in the gap and believe for them. Until God dismisses you from that. God has dismissed me from people in believing for Him. I can't tell you over the years how many times God has put certain people in my congregation and had me pray for Him and go into intercession for Him. And many times God would come to me and say, stop praying for them. Well, God, why do you want me to stop praying for them? I haven't seen any change. He says, I've done everything that your prayers have asked me to do on their behalf for them, and they've refused my counsel. Now move on. Well, that's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. You see, every one of you in this building, every single one of you, don't forget this ever. You will face something in your life that is so crucial and critical to the road that you're going to go down, that it is extremely important that you make the right decision. Because once you get on that road, it's harder to get off of. Extremely important that you understand that. I've seen people get off on the wrong path and tell them, don't go down that road. And they have. And in the end, tragedy. It's just that some people don't know how to maintenance themselves to be able to stay on the right path concerning the kingdom of God. You haven't been called into a kingdom that is not glorious, that is not crucial to your life. You've been called into so great of a salvation So everything that you make a decision to do is very important, not only for your life, but for the loved ones around you and for the Father Himself that has called you into His kingdom. And yet we take it so lightly, but God doesn't take anything lightly. You see, it's about time we as believers stop being just saved. You know, so many of us are just saved. I'm tired of just saved people. It's time we become matured. We grow up. We're not just saved, but Jesus becomes our Lord. He can tell us what to do, and this is a really great thought. We'll do it. I don't know how many times I've talked to people that, yeah, I know that's what God told me to do. Well, why haven't you done it? I just can't. God, you need to quit telling people what to do when they can't do it. Is that what we say to God? God is never going to tell you to do anything that He can't empower you to do it. Because He's not expecting you to do it through your flesh, your natural. He's expecting you to do it through His power at work within you. Give Him a break. Hallelujah. And yet, we are the kind of people that we want somebody else to control us. God wants you to be in control of your own vessel. He wants you to determine within yourself, what do you want? You know, I'm going to boldly tell you this today. I don't care how practical you are. The more practical you become, the more spiritually the kingdom of God will back you in good practicalities. If you don't believe me, go to the book of Proverbs. It'll tell you all kinds of good practical stuff. And that's faith. I had a guy. I knew he wasn't going to be destined very long for here. But I had a guy tell me. He flat out tell me. He wouldn't hold a job. He wouldn't take care of a whole bunch of kids he had. Wouldn't hold a job, wouldn't even go to school to better himself. And I told him, I says, you're worse than an infidel. You don't provide for your home, according to 1 Timothy 5:8. You know what he said to me? I looked up the meaning of infidel, and it doesn't mean a bad thing. Whose interpretation? Is that God's interpretation? Or is that your own interpretation? Because that ain't the interpretation of your wife, and that's not the interpretation of your kids. How many of you think a guy's in faith when he can provide for his family? Thank you. Get a job. Boom, 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 boom. Get a job, get a job. That's the music you need to send him. No, just because you're spiritual does not have anything to do with being out of the range of practicality. The more spiritual you become, the more practical you are, the greater your stewardship. You know, I have one brother, he don't want nothing to do with church or anything, but oh man, he's linked with God. Thank God I understand 1 John, because 1 John tells you, gives you a description of those who are not being purged of darkness in their soul with their brothers and sisters in the Lord. Their fellowship is not approved. And when I shared that with them, you don't have an approved fellowship with God, or you'd be doing this. Oh man, he don't talk to me no more. Why? I'm not spiritual. I'm going to tell you something. You know, when God started the early church, the reason you saw so many supernatural things being done is because medical science itself had not progressed to the state that it is today. And so the love of God was more on humanity back then at the inception of the church. Then today, there is many things we can practically do without having to believe God for deliverance. Such as, this might shock a few of you, have what you call dental maintenance. My daughter understands that because she is part of the dental thing. You know?
And she'll tell you, get your teeth clean and everything. And, ooh, I don't can't.
Ooh. Be in people's mouths? Forget that.
But go for dental maintenance, care. Get your teeth clean. I do it every 4 months. I go in there. Now they tell me I'm a one all the way around. Is that a one? It's good?
Yeah.
They say, oh, man, you mean nice. Nice.
Here's another one. Monthly checkups.
Go to a doctor.
Have them check you out.
They say 90% of people that die before their time is the ones who refuse to have what you call medical checkup. Go for a physical. Take care of yourself.
Is anybody feeling condemned this morning?
Good!
Because then it's working.
Go and get checked up. And then the doctor said, man, I'm glad you came in when you did. This could become a serious thing. Yeah, you do that. Don't sit there and say, you're a liar. I don't even accept that.
Well, what do you think your physical body does? Just walks through life, and because now you're a Christian, nothing can touch it? I don't think so. Do maintenance and check up. Don't let things get so bad. I ain't no doctor. I believe God for everything. And God's saying, hey, man, this guy's an idiot. You violate even Proverbs when you do that. Even Proverbs tells you the right way to eat. This is going to shock a lot of you. Maybe not. Maybe my church is the only right church in the whole town. Have I ever thought of that way? Yeah, I could think that way. You guys are the only right-thinking people in town. So pass this information on. You don't need it. But have you ever thought that the Word of God might have left something out for us to have to find out on our own? It said all things were naked and open in the sight of Him with whom we are accountable to the Word of God. Hebrews what? 13. God provided this Word so that we can behave ourselves into something good. Not wait until we just stumble through life and then all of a sudden we need triumphant faith to get us out of something. Transcending faith will make sure that your triumphant faith will work when you do need it. Listen, I got news for you. Our medical science, you can't trust it like you can the Lord. But God has improved medical science to help us. Not to knock it. Because I'm going to tell you what, I don't care how advanced medical science is, you still need God. Because sometimes these bodies act weird. Bill Green. Bill, are you here this morning? There he is. I'll never forget, I got a call. I said, you got to go to this hospital. This guy's speaking in a language none of the nurses can understand. So by the time I got there, then Diane was there and everybody, and they said he's praying in tongues. And so I walked up and he just kept praying in tongues till he was wore out. He'd take a second wind and go at it again. And I'd say, Bill, stop. So he just kept praying in tongues. Well, then he came out of it. I guess he had something pass through his brain. Is that what was it? And he didn't know how to control that, but he sure knew how to pray in tongues. Glory to God. His tongues never missed a lick. Don't tell me there ain't a spirit on the inside of you that speaks in other languages. But it was good that you had the checkup from the neck up, hey, Bill? I hope you've been back to the doctor since, right? Okay. But believe me, you're not faithless because you make a decision to do something practical in your life. Because sometimes the practical things to your life will help promote you to that triumphant faith when you need it next time. Amen? I got to go tomorrow morning and have a blood test. You know, have a blood test. I'm not saying, oh man, am I in faith or am I not? Am I out of faith or in faith? I'm going to go for a blood check. Oh.
I can go and let them suck the blood right out of me. And it wouldn't bother me one bit. Oh, what if something's wrong with the blood? I don't fear a thing. I'm doing the practical thing. I'm doing the checkup all the time when I'm supposed to. I'm being practical about things. And if it goes beyond the practicality of things, God's got me covered. If you guys haven't heard Casey Treat's testimony about the radical life that he lived before he got saved, and he got saved, and that, what it was, hepatitis C, came back in. I listened to his testimony on radio one day going home, and that did more for me to understand how important it is to not only observe the spiritual side of things, but also the practical side of things. And how God instructed him and got through it. And you knew this guy's going to come out of this. Why? Because he's called to God? You can be called to God and still croak. Yeah. One of my best friends went to sign for an $8 million loan for a new building because his church was exploding. Died of a heart attack. Croaked.
Well, I don't see how that's possible.
Well, if you don't take care of yourself, and you don't take care of yourself practically, you don't do things practically. Listen, if you expect God to bail your finances out, you better make sure it's not because you threw your bills in the incinerator. Called debt burning. No, how you do is you jump in the incinerator, and your bills will be burnt. You won't incur another one. It's your stewardship over everything that is so important in your life. Be determined in your stewardship to be practical about things, and the Spirit will back it 100%. Boy, did I lose favor with the triumphant bunch. But I'm preaching a conviction from my heart, and I know it works. How do you know it works? I can finally fit in these pants a little bit. Why? I didn't go to God and said, take the calories out of the food. No, I decided I'm not going to diet. I'm going to have food. I'm going to order the same amount of food and sit there and eat just a little bit of it and push away. Your body will tell you you're full. It's when you... No more. God gave me a body that knows how to respond. I'm going to start listening to it. And when I'm full, I'm going to stop. Well, how do you know you're full? Eat slow. It takes about 20 minutes for your brain to register the food. Oh, it's working. The practical side of things. Matter of fact, I listened to these two tapes, so I'm not going to promote this guy. But he talked about how you can lose weight by learning how the body can communicate to you on things like food. And he was explaining how skinny people stay skinny. And he gives you the MO of them. And I'm not going to tell you because I'm the one that had to buy the tapes and listen to them. But anyway, as I was listening to him, this friend of mine called and said, let's go to lunch together. I said, okay, and he's a skinny guy. I ain't going to tell you his name because you know who he is. And as I was going, I was going to watch him to see if he fit the description of what this guy said on these tapes. And so we went to out to eat. We sat there. He orders everything that I do. And he did exactly everything that guy said you do to maintain your weight properly. Every bit of it. Finally, I looked at him and says, aren't you going to eat? And he goes, oh, yeah, I'm going to eat. Yeah. He'd take a bite and put it down. Then he'd start talking. And I'm sitting there, man, this guy is doing exactly like that guy said. And I finally, at the end of the conversation, I look at him. I says, how come you don't eat much? He says, well, I'm full. I'm full. I said, you only ate half your hamburger. He said, no, I don't want the rest. I don't like that full feeling. I don't like the full food. Well, I bet you every one of us would look sharp as tacks if we only ate half of what we eat. I want half of me to go away. I don't mean to preach condemnation on you, but I do want to tell you that it's good to have faith, but faith is not just the supernatural aspect of things, people. Faith is also the practical side of things. It takes care of business while you're here. Not only on food, but your finances, your money, everything. There's just something healthy about understanding spirituality through practicality. So important. That is your faith. You know, every one of us in this room have faith. But most of it might be negative. That if our faith is correct, it's because God was able to birth something in us to overcome this world with. And I'm going to tell you, people, it's about time you quit listening to the negative side of your brain telling you you can't do. You can do anything you put your mind to do it if you're willing to do it. There isn't a loser in this room that don't. If you do not want to be a loser in your life, choose you this day not to be a loser at whatever you've been losing at. Change your decision. I'm not going to be what my carnal mind is telling me I am. I'm going to put a stop to your negativity. You're not going to dictate to my life what I'm going to succeed in or what. I can succeed if I listen to God and let Him put Himself big on the inside of me and just do what He tells me to do. You know what? Too many of us wait for the manifestation of something. I found that your faith has instant results the minute you decide in your heart to do it. That is what's going to encourage me to succeed where I've been failing in life. I'm going to succeed in it, in my own personal life. You follow what I'm saying? And I learned that when I got where I'm at now, where I was then, that's what you have to do with your mind. You have to begin to even trick it. Do you know that? My mind says, you got to eat some more. Yes, I will. I'll get to it. And don't do it. You'll trick your mind. You can do that. If you can deceive yourself, then you can do it for the better. You can. These guys get something here today.
Well, I don't know if I can handle any more of these messages.
Hey, join the crowd. None of us can handle. Stand up, everybody. God loves you so much. Hallelujah. Billy gets up skinny as a pole. I got to go eat. Yeah, you're no different than us heavy ones. Matter of fact, you're more sneaky. You can eat a ton of food and not gain a pound. All of us can look at a crumb and we're 5 pounds heavier. I'll tell you, I know some skinny people have bad eating habits. Boy, they can put me under the table. Some of us have these kind of, what do you call it? Metabolism? That sucker doesn't even know how to get up and move. Now, a lot of us got metabolism like squirrels. Father, as we bow our heads, boy, this has been a weird morning. Father, as we bow our heads, Father, I want to do an altar call here. And Father, right now, in Jesus' name, if there's somebody here that has just visited that would like to give their heart and life to the Lord, regardless of the message, then Father, we'd sure love to lead them into the kingdom of God. Because their whole life may be just washed away, Father. But there's hope in Jesus. He can infuse and strengthen us to succeed in what we want to. So Father, today, if there's anybody that's never given their heart and life to Jesus, we welcome them. And if you're here today and you've never had the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence, speaking in other tongues, we would love to pray with you as the Heavenly Father would fill you to overflow.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So right now, with every head bowed, if you fit salvation or the infilling of the Holy Spirit or restoration, you can step out and come forward right now. Anybody who would like to? Hallelujah. Here's what we're all going to do. We're all going to pray this prayer. Amen. Those of you, as you've witnessed the messages this morning, every one of you have something you need to make a commitment to succeed in. If you want to, let's take a moment, and we won't have an altar on this, an altar call on this. But if you would like to bow your head and make a prayer of confession with me this morning, and don't do it if you're going to waver. It's all right. God will wait for you. But if you want to, because of the message you purpose in your heart, you're going to make some changes in your life because you want to be the different person than you are. Now, I'm not just talking about weight here. I'm talking about other things. That maybe you haven't said no to the patterns that have taken you out of the patterns of God. But you would like to make a commitment today to begin today. Not tomorrow, not the next day. You want to begin your salvation today. In whatever area it is that you need to. Don't come against me, but deal with the Word of God. That's the thing. It's the Word of God in our life that gives us victory to overcome this world with. So let's pray this prayer. Pray it with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I know what I need to change. I'm making that commitment now because you will strengthen me to overcome this area in my life. I hate it. I don't love it. Therefore, I will succeed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're just visiting today, that we have a hospitality room in back. Just go to the ladies in back, and when I get through ministering here, I'll go back there and meet with you. If you're new here for the first time, we welcome you. Hallelujah. Okay, dear Heavenly Father, may your people be successful today in everything they do. Come back tonight. John's going to be good. Amen. God bless you.